big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains April 24th through the 27th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Ryan Kent's two-game ban stands for hitting out at Scott Brown, who's also charged for his celebrations on a busy day of disciplinary action. It was wins for both Glasgow clubs last night, with the Hoops management unhappy at fan behaviour in Paisley, and the top six is settled as Motherwell miss out at the expense of both Edinburgh sides. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, no shortage of talking points at once again tonight, Gordon, but let's start with the football. Celtic recording a 2-0 victory away to St Mirren. Fairly impressive. Rangers at home to Hearts, 3-0. Played very, very well, in the perfect way, I suppose, to bounce back from them after the disappointment of Sunday. But I've got a feeling there'll be other talking points on the agenda from our callers tonight. You know, we're looking at Ryan Kent, the ban upheld, two matches. Steven Gerrard also learns about his fate. And then people will still have the fallout from Morelos and Scott Brown. So lots to talk about, and a full fixture card at the weekend also to look forward to.
Yeah, enjoyed the football last night. A lot of good games, Gordon. You know, top six now cemented, and relegation play fight off will probably be between the bottom three, Dundee, St Mirren and Hamilton. That's going to be right to the wire as well. And Celtic with that victory keeps that 13-point gap. So a lot of you know, exciting talking points tonight, and looking forward to the weekend's games before the split.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need, and you can tweet at ClydeSSB. There's plenty of football to discuss, so let's do that as well. But we'll start with today's news, and there has been lots of it. I'm going to run through them quickly to try and, you know, set the tone, get a brief view from you, and then we'll get into them in a bit more detail later on. If there's anything that you think we haven't discussed, you give us a call, because there is so much to mention. First one, breaking this afternoon: Ryan Kent's appeal against a two-match ban fails. He will miss the Motherwell game and one other after a violent conduct charge for hitting out at Scott Brown. Briefly, are you both in agreement with that decision?
Yes, yes, I am. I think that Rangers cleverly used the system by appealing it, and so that he could play against Hearts last night, because it was important for Rangers to get a result last night. They had only won 3 in 10, hadn't won 5, so they had to get a result against a Hearts side that went to Ibrox looking for something. But they did, they achieved that, and now Ryan Kent will miss Motherwell in one other game.
100%. I mean, I'd be surprised, or I'm surprised, at anyone looking at that incident and thinking he wasn't guilty. It was there in black and white for all to see, even though Steven Gerrard
and
come
colour,
out
actually as well.
Yeah, there you go. But Steven Gerrard come out and saying it wasn't in the face. Listen, doesn't matter. So not surprised one bit that that's been upheld. And it'll be a miss for Rangers, no doubt about it. He's been absolutely excellent, none more so than Sunday. But he will be a miss for the two games that he's going to be missing for Rangers.
Okay, the other one, which I think will get people going: Scott Brown has been charged for essentially not acting in the best interests of association football. That's one of the ways to describe it. He faces a ban, but the hearing won't be for a couple of weeks yet. This is in response to his celebration at full time on Sunday.
Well, listen, I'm amazed at that. I think it's a joke. I think we're running the risk now. If Scott Brown's going to be charged for that, standing, you know, a fair distance away from the Rangers supporters, okay, he was looking in the direction, the game finished in that corner, you're going to have to start charging every single player who runs or looks in the direction of opposition fans when they score, when they win a game. We see it so many times. Listen, I see Jake Hastie scoring a very good goal at Pittodrie last night. He runs away in the corner, surrounded by Aberdeen fans, and he's kind of gesturing towards it. So do we need to charge him? Do we need to charge then Ryan Kent for making, you know, try to shush the Celtic fans when he scores? We're running down, you know, a slippery slope if we're starting to charge players for that. I don't think anything should be done about it. But in Scottish football, would it actually surprise you if he was found guilty of that?
Yeah, Mark makes a lot of good points. I was at the game when it finished and I looked up in that direction, and Scott Brown certainly was enjoying it. And he's every right to enjoy it, Gordon, because he took so much criticism at Ibrox. People actually had him written off. And I'm talking about Celtic fans here as well. And he enjoyed every moment of it. And you can argue as well, in that corner, there were just under 800 Rangers supporters. There were also Celtic supporters as well. Yes, did he milk it? Yes, he did. But he didn't run over.
You still said the other night you would have preferred he hadn't done it.
Yes, I would have preferred. What I would have liked to have seen, because what happens is everybody got involved, and I said on the day, this is not the scene you like to see. Players, staff have got responsibility, so behave in the right way. What I'd have liked to have seen was Scott Brown shaking hands with everybody, and then Celtic doing what they normally do, ground the ground and applaud their supporters. That wouldn't have been a problem. But I'm not having a go at Scott Brown because I don't think he'd done a lot wrong.
Right, like I say, this is just a brief overview of them all, and we will discuss the both sides of the argument a bit later on because there's just so many to get through. Stephen Gerrard's been charged with misconduct. This is relating to comments made to Bobby Madden, so not about Bobby Madden, so we don't have them. We don't know what he said. Significantly, perhaps, is that he's actually accepted that, so that one match ban will kick in for Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah, I mean, again, we don't know what he said, but the fact is he's accepted it. He's not challenged it. I think Rangers have challenged most things that, you know, are bans or cards from the SFA, and they've been successful in some counts. But the fact that Stephen Gerrard's accepted it, he obviously thinks he was out of order himself. So again, he'll be a miss for Rangers because you always need your manager on the touchline. So that'll be a miss in the remaining five games.
Right, the final one for the moment is that both Rangers and Celtic have been charged for essentially what is they call it a mass confrontation following the game. Incidentally, Hearts and Aberdeen have been given the exact same charge from the weekend. I don't expect people to notice, but this is generally what happens when three or more players get involved. It's not... Clearly we don't want to see it, but it was, in many ways, it was to be expected, this one.
Yes, because that's what I said on the programme when the final whistle went. Scott Brown celebrated, Andy Halliday ran over. All of a sudden there was every player, there were staff involved. It was absolutely ridiculous. And it was, I've got to say, for all that everybody's talking about it, it was total handbags. It was boy stuff. Instead of just shaking hands, got off the pitch, let Celtic do their lap of honour and got on with it. Everybody had to get involved in it.
And it looks like both clubs will defend themselves against that charge. So 01419511025, if it's the last thing I do, we'll get round to talking about the actual football. So if you've got a point about the games last night, we'd love to have it. But let's kick off with Alan, who's a Celtic fan in Kings Park. Hi, Alan.
Hi there, Gordon.
Hello.
Just following up about the Scott Brown thing, I'm getting charged by the SFA.
Yep.
I don't think it makes that much sense. I think for a long time, Celtic fans, I'm a Celtic fan myself, and I was at the game on Sunday. I think for a long time, Celtic fans have had a mistrust of the SFA for their own reasons. This doesn't help. I don't think Rangers fans have got much time for the SFA either. And internationally, at which the SFA are responsible, they seem to be losing a lot of goodwill from fans out with Celtic and Rangers. Regardless of all of that, Scott Brown never did anything wrong. So I don't understand what they're charging him for. If I was Scott Brown and I was Celtic, I'd be getting the lawyers in to challenge this all the way. There's no way the SFA should win this, I don't think.
Let's just knock this in the head early on. If you're a Celtic fan, you probably think Brown's been hard done by. And if you're a Rangers fan, you think it's the correct decision. I'm hoping, wishful thinking, hoping we can be a bit above that and really explore whether footballers should be allowed to celebrate in front of opposition fans. Is it that big a deal? I mean, we've seen it in the past. We did Daniel Candeias one earlier this season, didn't we? Was it the blowing kisses or whatever? Mm-hmm. Most people agreed that was ridiculous. There was another one, was it Andy Halliday at Morton a couple of years ago? I guess there are certain gestures that you aren't allowed to do, but by and large, have we, are fans not a bit sensitive now? Are we not a bit offended by everything? Yeah. That's the impression you seem to get.
I think you're right, Gordon. When you cross the line and certain gestures that you can't do, I think we all accept that. If what Daz says, if Scott Brown walks off the pitch, he's closer to the Rangers supporters, or he jumps over an advertising board and he gets close to them, you leave the field to play. Yep, against the rules. But if you're standing 15 to 20 yards away where the game finishes and make a simple gesture. Now remember, this is for 3 seconds, 4 seconds maximum, and then walks away. I mean, how is that a bad thing? You're totally right, fans are sensitive. And if you take that away, and I'm talking about even goal celebrations, I mean, I think that takes a lot away from the game. If you can't celebrate, so if an opposition player scores at Celtic Park or Ibrox, say at the opposite end, they can't celebrate. They've got to run all the way to their own fans before they start celebrating. Is that the road we're going down?
Gordon,
it's ridiculous.
There is footage from the Rangers end, I think it is, that someone's taken. And as Brown walks, he turns back. There is a gesture of sorts. The problem is we don't know the specifics of the charge, and that's why you're left to speculate. So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I've not seen that myself, Gordon. But I don't think that you can start blaming players and supporters. As well, as I said at the end, I thought it was terrible scenes that staff were on there. Players, every player was in amongst it, trying to pull people. That is not good for a game. Celebrating is. They're celebrating a win. Now, if it was Rangers, had won on Sunday, they would have been celebrating as well. Both sides are exact same. But you can't keep saying that, you know, the players are to blame for it. The supporters have got a way to behave as well, Mark. Yeah. They've got to behave in the right manner as well. You've got to accept it as a player and a supporter. I was at Ibrox and it was incredible scenes when Rangers beat Celtic. And they should have, because it had been a long time coming. They enjoyed the moment. Andy Halliday's, the Rangers guys, they lapped that up. Celtic players got off the pitch. That's the way it should be. Celebrate with your own supporters. You don't want to see the ugly scenes at the end. That's the biggest problem.
Alan, be honest with me. Would you be as understanding if it was the other way around? If Andy Halliday had won the game and had celebrated like that in front of the Celtic fans, would you be able to accept it?
Of course I would. We took it for years. See, when they were doing 9 in a row, we took it for years. It's our turn now. And anyway, he never done anything major. What did he do? Held his fingers up, giving it 8, and did his Bruni thing. I mean, come on.
I do wonder, take Celtic and Rangers out, if it was another player, just take Aberdeen and Motherwell last night. If, say, Hastie, if they won that game, if he went up to the corner and celebrated in front of those fans, would the SFA have pulled him up for that? Would they have? I don't think they would have. So how they're going down a slippery slope here, because they can't charge Scott Brown just because he's Scott Brown and because of the magnitude of the game. It's got to be the same rule across the board for everybody. Then
I mean, Mev tweeted in and says, please point out to Mark Wilson, Andy Halliday was sent off for punching the air in the middle of the park at Capello after a game against Morton. It's not a slippery slope. But the point would stand that if that was wrong, this one has to be wrong. And we all have to be consistent with it. I noticed when I was watching the highlights, the St Johnstone Matty Kennedy, and by the way, I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble, he scores, he's in front of Dundee fans. I think it was the hands behind the ears. So
there you go. What's the difference?
It seems to me, Gordon, it's going to be a very difficult thing to police. At the bare minimum, if you agree or disagree on Scott Brown, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can all agree this would be difficult to police.
Yeah, because it happens nearly every game, Gordon. It's only because Celtic and Rangers are the biggest two clubs in the country. It's highlighted and the players are highlighted more, and it's all the talking points about how they were wrong and, you know, he's never a Celtic captain, he's never a Rangers captain. It happens every game. Guys that score goals go over and celebrate. What happens in football is you normally take a little bit of flack from the opposition, and there's nothing better than putting the ball in the back of the net and winning. I've been there. I've actually I've been in that situation where I've scored in a big, big game and went over to the opposition fans and celebrated. So I'm not going to stand here and say that Scott Brown's not entitled to go and celebrate a terrific win, which probably won them the league.
Stuart Payton says, yes, you should be able to celebrate in front of opposition fans, but without certain gestures and as long as no goading of the fans, Stuart says. And Jim says, as you may know, Gordon wasn't a big favourite at Firhill playing for Raith. He took pelters when he scored. They celebrated in front of the Jags fans, quite right too. I remember fellow fans shouting to the police, a total embarrassment, it's just a game, says Jim. If there was ever a
it was
phrase,
a total embarrassment, him, Gordon.
Oh, probably
No, the fellow fans.
All right. Okay. No, that's what I'm saying, Gordon. I'm not going to sit here, how many years ago there was. 20, 30 years later, I scored my first one at Celtic Park and I was running about like I had no idea what I was doing. I scored in a cup final against Celtic. I see me score against Celtic, it's quite good. And I celebrated because Celtic had the majority of the stadium because of the size of their support.
Here's the thoughts of Timothy Weir. He was watching on from the bench on Sunday. Doesn't think Scott Brown did much wrong.
It's a derby match and tensions are high, and you know that's what Scott does. he's a leader of men, and he shows that, and he shows his passion for the club. And you know, I didn't see a problem with it, but you know, we have to respect any decision that's been made. And you know, now we just have to move on as a team and just build from it and learn and continue doing what we've been doing. And Scott Brown is amazing. Ever since I've been here, he's been a role model for me. You know, just knowing that people said he was finished and he's showing the world that he still has it in him is great. And you know, it shows me to never give up and always keep going. And he's doing an amazing job. He's a leader of men, and he's one of the best captains I've had.
The other big talking point today was that Ryan Kent's ban will stand. Rangers had appealed that decision. It wasn't successful. Stephen Gerrard said this morning, Gordon, you said that they had been clever to allow him to play against Hearts, but Stephen Gerrard was sticking to his guns. He says they appealed it because they didn't think it was violent conduct. He says Stephen Gerrard believes the pictures made it look worse than it is, and that the winger was provoked by Scott Brown.
We spoke to Ryan, we spoke to other players around the incident. We've got our version of events, which are totally different than what we feel is being reported or what he's being accused of. We don't think it was violent conduct, and we don't think it was in the face. It's always easy in hindsight to look at pictures that look worse than they are. I've known Ryan since he was 8-9 years of age. He hasn't got a violent bone in his body. He's never been involved in something like this before. I think Ryan was just merely pushing him away to get him out of his face after being provoked. That's our side of it.
You want my reaction to that? That is absolute nonsense. That is nonsense. And I don't mind Stephen Gerrard coming out and trying to defend his player. That's fine. You've got to, as a manager, defend your player. But I'm sorry, they actually used the system, Gordon. Let's not be kidded. They knew that the Hearts game was important. They knew they were never going to win that today. Absolutely no chance. And I would have probably, if I was a manager, I would have said the same. I'd have went, right, look, let's appeal this. Let's get him for a Hearts game because it's important. We want to keep winning. Kilmarnock are 6 points behind. Can't let them, you know, start closing that gap. Get our best players out and we'll deal with Motherwell and whoever. But for Stephen Gerrard to come out and say there that he shoved him and he was provoked, I think is absolute nonsense. I really do.
Perhaps that's where, listen, being serious here, that's where Rangers' disciplinary problems are coming from then. If Stephen Gerrard, the manager, thinks that that isn't violent conduct and that's acceptable, and they have a version of events that he says that are totally different to what everybody else sees, then I would say that was a problem. And the amount of times Morelos has been involved in incidents and certain things have been appealed, you know, it must come from the manager then. If that's okay to do, he sees that's okay to do, that's astonishing. And I get what Dad's saying, you need to defend your player, but it's there in black and white. Still pictures, you can get an idea and the wrong impression, but when it's live TV pictures and everybody sees it, I'm hugely surprised at Stephen Gerrard with the comments.
Let's squeeze in Robert and Thornley Bank. Hi Robert.
Hi Gordon. I've just been listening to the show and when I finished work today, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, that Scott Brown had been cited by SFA about his conduct in the match on Sunday. I mean, I watched the game and he got like a push in the face, he'd been elbowed, he celebrated his team's win at the end of the match. And looking back to the game at Ibrox, when Celtic get beat, like Arfield was doing the Bruni and Scott Bright, Celtic players just walked off the park, accepted the defeat. Rangers were a better team. And Sunday's match there, Celtic were well on top to the last half hour. And it could have went the other way, actually, for Rangers were actually going to go ahead and win the game. And I think with sports, like captains like that, and a professional sports person, but the adrenaline that's going through you, when that final whistle goes, you don't know what you're doing for split seconds, 5 seconds, whatever. You don't know where you are in the park. You're just the relief that the final whistles went and you're celebrating your team's victory. I mean, being a Celtic fan, when the Rangers win the game in years, like, fine, the TV's off, I'm not going to sit and go, that's not right. You just accept it and go on, you just move on. And I don't think people understand it. If you're obviously professional sports people, does that release attention when a match finishes like that? Because I think deep down, Scott Brown and Celtic players thought, we're going to lose. It looked as if it was slipping away for them. And then when the final whistle goes, there's all sorts of emotions come out in big games like that. And I just don't understand where it's all going with this being cited with the SFA. It's quite funny, to be honest. And I agree with a lot of comments Gordon's made about the listening as well. It's, I don't know what's going on, to be honest.
Whether it's Scott Brown or anyone else, how, Mark, you played more recently than Gordon. Sorry for reminding you.
No problem.
What about this idea that, you know, the fact the players have to put up with a lot of abuse, you know, a lot of the stuff that comes, you've been there, some of the stuff that gets shouted is outrageous, but we sort of, you know, we accept reluctantly that that's part and parcel. And some people would say, well, that's, you know, the players get the right to give a little bit back. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, listen, players have got a responsibility to behave in a mature and sensible way on the park. But I totally agree there with the call, because there is a release, especially in games like that where, you know, there is so much pressure on. So, I mean, if you start taking that sort of raw emotion away from a win, we're in trouble, Gordon. Forget about it. You know, shut the game down.
0141 951 1025. I'm feeling brave. We're going to give the actual football a go. I don't know how it will take off, but we're going to try and talk about the games last night after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Give us a call or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Lots of reaction coming in to the various episodes, shall we say, from the Scottish FA's disciplinary system today. Ryan Kent, Scott Brown, Stephen Gerrard, various others. I do want to talk about football, if you don't mind, even just for a little while. I'm sure it would be great. So let's try Stephen Gerrard. We've already heard from him, we'll hear from him again. Neil Lennon's delighted the Celtic players have taken another step towards wrapping up the title, even if it wasn't a vintage performance against St Mirren.
We had quality chances, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Dundee, where we had to wait the 96th minute. You know, we had good chances tonight, and we've only, you know, if there's any criticism at all, we didn't win the game by a bigger margin. We were in total control, and we had clear-cut chances tonight as well. So, but very pleased with the win, and you always need the second goal, but we had to wait a little bit longer than I wanted to for it, but it's a great 3 points, and we know we're two games away, or two wins away from another title.
What did you make of it last night?
Well, listen, job done again for Neil Lennon, and I'm sure most people would say that Celtic haven't really played sparkling football under him so far, but there's one thing that they do is that win games, and that's, you know, by all costs. And last night I thought they were fairly comfortable. I think St Mirren came into it a wee bit at the end with a few chances, but I always thought that Celtic had it in them to go up the levels, and he made one or two changes. The guys come in, done fairly well, so job done. And Neil, listen, Neil will be delighted no matter how he gets the job done. You know, just getting him over the line and trying to increase that points gap. And I've said many times before, if he does that, I think he's in a very, very strong position to get the job permanent.
Yeah, it wasn't a vintage performance, Gordon. It was the 3 points, I suppose, that mattered. The Olivier Cham missed the penalty. Timothy Weah on the score sheet. And then the return of Ryan Christie a bit later on.
I thought Ryan Christie, when he came on, Gordon, was magnificent. I thought he was brilliant. It was a difference, because I thought at that time Celtic were a little bit flat. It was a walk in the park for them. St Mirren, for the first 60-65 minutes, really offered nothing. I was surprised at that, because yeah, they're down there at the bottom of the league, they're fighting for their survival, but you've got a free hit, because nobody expects you to pick up points against Celtic. I know that Oran Kearney's first game they got a draw, but after Celtic's win against Rangers on Sunday. League nearly tied up. Nobody's really expecting you. And you're looking at Dundee's got a difficult game. Hamilton's got a difficult game. I thought he would have been a little bit more positive. He just sat off Celtic. Celtic just played at their own
chances,
pace,
though.
And near the end they did. But I never thought the Celtic weren't any bother whatsoever of drawing or losing the game. I think they could have just upped the gears. And I said, when Christie came on, he was different class for me. He really was. I think he made the game go quicker. He moved the ball quicker. His movement was terrific. And he obviously got his goal. And I'll tell you what, they've missed him. Because he is a very, very good player.
Stephen Gerrard says Rangers 3-0 win against Hearts was exactly what they needed after Sunday's defeat. Jermaine Defoe got his sixth goal of the season. And his manager says he could have a big decision to make when Alfredo Morelos returns from suspension.
It was what we needed, really. Obviously, after a difficult result at the weekend, a lot of frustration in the air the last couple of days. Certainly, first half was the performance I was looking for, so players deserve credit. I thought we played really well, especially for 35 minutes. Thought we looked really good, passed the ball well, moved, looked dangerous, and deserved to obviously have our lead at half-time. I expected us to get a bit tired and a bit sloppy late on, after the shift we put in at the weekend with 10 men. You know, I'll give the players that, but in the main, obviously, a positive result, clean sheet. You know, we move on to Motherwell now. I'm happy with him, because he's been a top professional. He's been immaculate around the place. When he's come on, he's gave everything he has. You know, his numbers have been good considering the chances he's had. He won't be too happy with me because I know Jermaine better than most, and he wants more, and he wants more minutes, and I get that. I understand it, respect it. But he'll get a run in the team now. I said to him, play well, score goals, you get a run in the team. And if he continues to play well and score goals, it'll be interesting in 3 games' time.
It was a good win and a good performance, Gordon, after not only Sunday, but a difficult run before that as well.
Yeah, they had to get a result, Gordon. They really did. You know, we're all touching on 3 wins in 10, which is not good enough for Rangers, and especially after a disappointment on Sunday. But watching the highlights, they looked very good. You look at Rangers sometimes and they're brilliant on the eye, but they're not consistent enough, and that's why they're 13 points behind Rangers. I think the Rangers manager was delighted with his 2 big signings that he brought in January, because they come in for a lot of criticism that they didn't hit the ground running, they've not performed. Davis last night was man of the match. Apparently he was terrific. Defoe, he's been brought up to score goals. He scored one early on in the first couple of minutes offside, and then he eventually got his goal. So he'll be pleased with that. It was a good victory for them and a good performance, and I'm sure the Rangers fans will be delighted with it.
Glenn Kamara got rave reviews as well. Mark Wilson, it was exactly what Stephen Gerrard says. It was exactly what they needed.
Yeah, I thought they were excellent last night. Started the game very brightly, and I've said numerous times about Rangers this season, when they start like that, they're very hard to contain. I mean, get their noses in front, playing like that Ibrox, then it really could be anything. Some of the football they play, terrific at times, but Gordon Wright, not consistent enough throughout the season. But when you get them on a night like that, they can be unstoppable. Jermaine Defoe coming in and doing what he does, scores goals, you know, assists as well. And I just wonder if it's now time. I know we've not got a lot of games left, and Morelos is now banned for a good part of that, but if Defoe will now play and hold on to that position to the end of the season, I just wonder if it's the right thing to let Morelos sit on the bench for would 2 or 3 games he might be back for. But just let him think about his actions and play a guy like Defoe, because he will score you goals, he will get you assists, and he looked dangerous last night. So terrific performance from Rangers.
01419511025. Thomas is a Rangers fan in Dalmarnock. Happy with last night's win, Thomas?
Any time a Gers win, I'm happy. I was listening to Gordon, and I was pleased with him last night. See the game on Sunday there, I was listening to Gordon. I don't know, he can't get many Rangers functions anymore, I'll tell you that. I know. See, when you're saying there, Stephen Gerrard, I don't know what he's talking about. All Stephen Gerrard said there was, Brown was in at the boy Kent's face. It's not a punch, it looks like a punch we've seen to Peter. He actually shoves him away. And the big, hard ticket, a man, Scott Brown, look at me with the tattoos and the skin heat. He's doing like a big girl. Same with Morelos, hardly touched him, doing like a big girl. Halliday touches him, doing like a big lassie. End of the game, right out of the Rangers fans. And there was a Celtic supporter on there talking when Celtic won at Ibrox. Not one Rangers player, not the Celtic supporters. And yet, see the first game of the season when Brendan Rodgers, the manager, they've done the same thing there. when can you see past this guy Brown? I think you're actually scared to say anything, I guess, in case you bump into him.
Right. Well, I'm going to say something.
Also, it's 2019, so can we just stop making out as if doing something like a girl is a bad thing? Anyway, that's just modern society.
I'm actually probably going to say something bad about, well, not bad about him, disagree with an opinion later on, once we get on to it. But for you to come on, one, Thomas, my life's not all about running about hoping I get invited to functions, let me tell you.
You're not
better
anyway.
Well, I'm not. Listen, Thomas.
No, Thomas, you wouldn't want. You just try to tell the truth. You wouldn't want to cover that up just to get invited to a Rangers function.
I'm sorry about saying about a girl. I meant about a big girl.
No, that's fine. No, listen, Thomas, it's not the biggest deal.
You can't. Listen, see him. If he wants to be that as a Celtic captain, right? See, previous Celtic captains, Paul McStay, Tommy Burns, absolute different class, total respect for him. I even took my scarf up when Tommy Burns passed away. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, players like that. Rangers captains of the past, right? Henry, Goff, they didn't act like that. Come on. See that guy for what he is at times. He provokes. See if Morelos did that wee kick out, you would have probably been the first to say, why is Morelos kicking out again? He had a wee kick at Scott Brown and he'd have tried to get. But he should have been doing, and then he might have got Scott Brown, but he needs to be clever. So, and that's what I'm saying. But
hold on a minute, though. You're not contradicting yourself there. You're saying Scott Brown goes down too easy.
He's
a joke. But that's after getting an elbow from Morelos and a push shove, whatever, to the throat from Kent. Yet you're now saying Morelos should go down.
Should he go down?
You just says that there.
No, no. But I'm saying, maybe that's what he should be doing, because then that's what's happening. They're provoking him, but we know he's going to fall for it all the time.
Yeah, but if it's wrong for Scott Brown to go down easily, as you accuse, why would you want Morelos to then do it?
I'll take it back. I wouldn't want him to do it. But what I'm saying is, if Morelos had done that, Gordon Dale would have been the first to say, why is he kicking out again? Why is he doing that? And yet, nothing said about Scott Brown doing it.
Well, Gordon, I think you did say, and I know it's not in fashion always to listen wholly, but you did say you would have preferred Scott Brown hadn't celebrated that way. You did say that. You've said it twice.
Yes, I've said it. I've said the fact that I would have liked to have seen the two sets of players shaking hands, Rangers leaving the field, and let Celtic go and do what they have to do instead of all the nonsense at the end. But Thomas comes on and everything seems to be blamed in Scott Brown right now. I know, I know you're a Rangers fan and you're looking at that, but Are you telling me that Rangers players have no part to play in this? Why is Morelos reactive? Right. Why is Kent? And don't say to me that Kent was provoked any of that. Scott Brown threw the ball behind himself, walked back, and Morelos walked to. Kent walked towards him and threw what he tried to do, a punch or shove or whatever it may be. And you're saying it's all Scott Brown's fault?
No, it's not Scott Brown's fault. Listen, see, we were all watching the game. I couldn't bet the game because we were away on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
We were going mental with Morelos again. And most of the supporters just wanted to get Rangers to get money on him and get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
We were criticising the Rangers players. Terrible. But all I'm saying is, call it as you see it. When somebody does, Kent was, of course, Kent's silly. But all Gerrard's saying is, he put his face in Kent's face. He shoves him away, it looks like a punch, and he falls down, and then obviously that's how he's getting his red card. But what we're saying, that's all we're saying.
Right. Thomas, can I ask you a question? Should Morelos been sent off?
Aye, of course he should.
Should Kent been sent off?
Probably, but he never got sent off. Aye.
Right.
Because that becomes, it's no violent conduct, because he shoved his face. You know, it wasn't a punch, but it looked like a punch, but it wasn't it? Once you've seen it, but he's got to do it. He's going. Gerrard said it himself, we'll take our punishment. But all he's saying is, it doesn't look the way it's appearing like a punch. And you're saying Gerrard's a disgrace there. No, not a disgrace, but you're saying totally disagree there with Gerrard. I don't disagree with Gerrard. He was just calling it, saying it. He was provoked. Listen, see if you annoy him.
Provoked by what? Provoked by what was the. Let's get specific then, Thomas. What did Scott Brown do to provoke Ryan Kent, sorry?
I don't know if he said something, but it was in his face. It was in his face.
Well, he was walking backwards at the time, was he not? Was he not walking backwards?
Can I ask you something then? What do you think Scott Brown and Morelos was getting sent off? He's the captain of Celtic. Should he not be getting his team organised? Where is he? Or at a touchline waiting on Morelos getting sent off to laugh in his face?
Thomas, here's a question for you then. See, and deservedly so, I thought that Rangers should have celebrated when they beat Celtic in December the 29th at Ibrox, because I thought they were terrific that day. When Arfield goes up to Brown and does the Bruni or whatever you want to call it, and Scott Brown turns round and does what Ken Armarellis does, what would you have said?
Do you know when Arfield
what
done
would
that?
You have said? Would you have said that was Arfield's fault? No, you wouldn't have.
Who
you
would
have come on have, here I, and slaughtered Scott
what
Brown.
Says, but do you know what Rangers supporter said? Arfield's winding Brown up. But he'd done it during the game. He'd done it during the actual game. That wasn't at the end of the game. Rangers supporters just celebrated with supporters.
But Morelis was during the game and Kent was during the game.
We're going to have to leave it there. Agree to disagree and kiss and make up some other time, because we're a bit late for the travel, but there'll be more fun and games like this as soon as we're done.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I'm an eternal optimist. I'm still hoping we'll get a football call. Every single team in the Premiership played last night. Not a call, not a single one about the performances on the pitch, but we'll try. We will keep going. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Stephen McHugh says, I'm sick of people comparing captains of clubs today with captains of past decades. It was a different sport back then. Of course Brown doesn't demand the same respect as McNeil. He wouldn't ask that of himself, but you could say that about any team nowadays, says Stephen McHugh on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Of course there were a couple of other big talking points in Paisley last night with the flashbang incident. A couple of other potential cases for the compliance officer to look at with Scott Brown and Duckins Nazon, so we'll do them after we speak to David in Paisley. Hi David.
Hi, good evening guys.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just going to make one quick point before I go into my main point.
Go for it.
You know, it totally amazes me in the press and the media the amount of ex-Celtic players who come out and just totally have green tinted glasses on and cannot see anything that Celtic do wrong. And this has been going on for a number of years, and it's going to keep going on. You've got people at Hartson, you've got people at Sutton, you've even got a guy that I'm just going to speak to the new, Mark Wilson, who just can't see past. Scott Brown would volley somebody into that stand and he was still making excuses for Scott Brown. But anyway, I'm going to go into my main point.
I hope you're not on to make excuses for Rangers players then, David, because that would be guilty of the same crime, wouldn't it?
Not
good man.
I'll
I knew you wouldn't.
I played football for a number of years, and I'll tell you something right now. I'll lay my cards firmly to my chest right now. The only thing Scott Brown is guilty of on Sunday is what he did at Time Up. Anything else he done in the game, he was fly, he was cute, he's done it. And do you know something? See, when I played football, I would have done the exact same thing. We were stupid enough to fall for it, so I'm going to say that. I'll lay my cards firmly on my chest for that right away.
Fair enough.
But what really annoys me, I've listened to the show all week, right? I've took my medicine, this, that, and the next thing. But Mark Wilson's statement at the start defending Scott Brown just tipped the iceberg for me tonight. Absolutely unbelievable. Did you actually see what happened on Sunday, Mark? Because I'll give you a blow-by-blow account. Because I was near the front of the Rangers end. I was fortunate enough to have a ticket.
Yep, I see that. On you go. Explain right. What you've seen.
Right, I'll tell you exactly what happened. The minute the ball went out and he blew for Time Up, he put his hands out, he started nodding his head like the wee nodding dog you get sitting in the top of the cars and giving it the big eye arm, this, that and the next thing. And the words he used was, get it right and I'll no say the rest. Okay? Mm. That's exactly what he said. And then he turned to walk away towards the main stand, and they announced over the tannoy that Scott Brown was the player of the match, and he pointed up and gave it a wee stupid dance, gave it this, that and the next thing, and then he put one arm over the other one and done the exact same thing again. That's exactly what he done. Now, if you look on social media, the Celtic supporters are that naive. I'm not going to use the word stupid. They're that naive that they've just hung their own man out to die, because you see it clearly what he does with the gesture. That's exactly what happens. So you tell me, you've played in a number of their games, you tell me how that's no provocative.
Yeah, in fairness to David, Mark, mm-hmm. and I mentioned it at the start, there is footage which shows the gesture that David is talking about. Is that not enough to land you a ban? Because it's happened before.
Yeah, well, listen, I've not seen that. Okay, I'm going to be honest with that. I've seen Scott Brown hold his hands out in the celebration that he does a number of times in front of Rangers fans and walk away. Now, I did say this, David, if players, make gestures that are uncalled for, then they run the risk of getting into trouble. So I've not seen that.
Well, I suggest you go on social media and see it, because it's Celtic fans But in that stand, the traditional Rangers end, it's Celtic fans, it's actually videoed it, and somebody keeps shouting, "Oh, Bruni, oh, Bruni." Well, he's just hung his own captain out to dry, because it shows him clearly, giving it the one arm over the other one. Exactly what we've seen. And that's what caused the rammy at the front of the Rangers end.
I'm a big fan of David's description, because everybody knows exactly what gesture he means, yeah, and it saves me from having to try and describe it without using the term. So David has actually described it perfectly, Gordon. We've seen it in the past. Do you remember James McFadden did it when he had that brief spell at St Johnstone? He got banned for doing that gesture. There have been a couple over the years. So, like I say, if that's what this charge is all about, then maybe we shouldn't be as shocked, or do you still disagree with it?
If this is what the charge is, then Scott Brown will be punished probably for it, Gordon. I agree with, I think David makes great points there about, and we've all played football, and David's been involved in football as well. During the game, Scott Brown, 35 Celtic Rangers games, very experienced, knows how to wind people up, knows how to, you know, press their buttons. And if you had Scott Brown in your team, you'd be delighted with that. I said, even at the game, that I would have liked to have seen Scott.
Yeah, two seconds,
I would have liked to have seen Scott Brown. He's quite entitled to celebrate. I've no problem with that. He didn't leave the pitch. I'd have liked to have seen him shake hands, get the Rangers players off, and let them go and do their walk round the pitch and applaud their own supporters, which they do every home game.
On you go, David. Let me let David back in, but yeah, make it quick if you can, David. A bit push
just
for
one
time.
Quick point.
Sure.
Simple question, a simple answer, yes or no. Should Scott Brown get done with a compliance officer for the tackle last night?
Well, we're going to go into that, so let's just go into it right now, but make it quick. We'll get in a bit more in depth later.
David, I know what you're going to say. That I would defend Scott Brown.
You know what's coming,
listen,
David.
David, but listen, I'm honest. I don't see anywhere he could have put his foot, and for me, no. I know.
Oh, do you know what? You're an absolute. I'd love to come in that studio and have a face to face with you.
Come on in, David.
Come on in.
Absolutely destroy you. You haven't got a clue, man.
Sounds a bit threatening. Don't like that, David. If you would be a bit more
David,
polite.
David, what height are you?
Oh, height enough for him. Let's put it that way.
If you're under 5'10", come in. If you're 6 foot, stay away.
Tell David what he wants to hear, because we discussed this in the office.
I thought it was a red card. Yeah, straight red. And that's why I think Thomas, I hope he's still listening, says that I defend Scott Brown at every turn. I thought Scott Brown, I'll go back to his experience, he's 35. He knew what he was doing. We've been in football grounds and pitches before. I thought it was a red card.
Yeah, David, are you happy with that?
Oh, I'm happy with that. Finally, Gordon Dale says something sensible.
Good stuff. We got there in the end.
David seems a fairly angry man. David, hey, you seem angry.
I know, David. It's all good. We're all friends here. Thank you to David in Paisley. 01419511025. And the phones, Twitter is at ClydeSSB as well. What about the? I'm going to keep trying. The football last night. We've got a couple of minutes before we beat the pundit. This notion that Celtic aren't at their fluent best at the moment. Does it matter when you're so close to the title, or is it because of the Neil Lennon situation you're still looking for signs of what may come in the future?
I think there'll be an element of Celtic fans looking for signs. You know what they were playing under Brendan Rodgers. I think you always get that when you get something that's almost perfect, and it's, you know, you're winning every trophy, but you're doing it with style. There'll be people who think the team can just continue that way. But when a new management team comes in, things are different. But the important thing, the really important thing, is Neil Lennon continues to win. And whether that be a last minute goal at Dens or in Tynecastle, or, you know, last night we both agree that they were kind of cruising, no vintage, but still getting the 3 points. Same on Sunday, weren't they at their best, but still managed to find a way to win. I think that's the ultimate important thing. But I do think there'll still be people out there looking for some sign of, you know, perfect football. And that might just, if Neil does get the job, that might just take a pre-season to implement his ideas. So, you know, it's a big call for the Celtic board, and if he does get the job, then he's got a lot of work to get the players that Brendan Rodgers signed and brought in used to the way Neil Lennon likes to play. And that may take a bit of time, but the important thing is he's still getting the job done just now.
On the subject of taking a bit of time, did we maybe see that, and I accept people can say too little too late or whatever, but The Davis performance last night, Steve Davis, Jermaine Defoe, are we perhaps just starting to see the benefits of them getting a bit more game time? People had written them off very quickly. Are we perhaps seeing what a few weeks under their belts can do?
Yeah, I think even
a couple of months now, I suppose.
You know, don't forget what Celtic supporters think. I think Rangers supporters were looking for the big impact the minute these two guys walked in, because you can't deny their Defoe is an out and out goal scorer, Davis is a fantastic footballer, and it didn't happen for them. Steven Gerrard's now saying they're up to speed, but unfortunately for Rangers, the two big players that were brought in January to make that, try and make that difference, especially when they're so close to Celtic after the 29th of December, they've taken till now to really show that, yeah, we can make a difference here in this side. But Rangers, the league's gone and they're out the two cups. So it's a bit of a damp squib, if you know what I mean. But you never doubt guys with ability. We know that given the opportunity, Defoe will score goals because he's just a natural goal scorer. You know that Davis is a terrific football player. He's got a terrific footballing brain as well, and he showed that last night. But I think the disappointing thing for all the Rangers supporters and even guys in here, we thought it was terrific signings, but it's now April, Gordon. I think Rangers wanted that in January.
All right, I think it's time we do this.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Ever wanted to talk pyrotechnics on a football phone-in show? Well, we'll do that as well after we play Beat the Pundit. Your chance to get one over on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. Show off your footballing knowledge and potentially win yourself a signed ball. 01419511025. Do it quickly because you only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here with me, Gordon Duncan. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need to get involved. Still waiting on the first football call, so you could be that guy. I think we'll need to line up a signed ball, I think, for the first person who phones in with a genuine footballing point. But we do have to talk, of course, about various other things as well. Let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. Gordon and Mark are both standing by. Connor is on the line from Parkhead. Hi, Connor.
Hiya, guys.
How are you tonight, Connor?
No bad, just finished up there.
Is that a hard graft?
Nah, I sit on my computer being not an audio.
Easy, honestly. You should see what Gordon DL does in a day. But nothing like that anyway, right? In fact, I've just had a tweet in from Jonathan Glenn, and I've got no idea if it's true, but if it is, this is going to set up Beat the Pundit beautifully. 1 year ago today, Mark Wilson was asked the question, what is the nickname of Queen of the South, and replied QOS.
Was that a year ago?
Jonathan claims it's the 1 year anniversary.
No, that wasn't a year ago.
I think it might be.
Wow.
It could be.
Not my finest moment.
Where did you and Bruni go to celebrate that night?
It could be. Anyway, Connor's on tonight trying to take advantage of some similar mishaps, if we can get them. Heads, you're going to be up against Mark Wilson, and tails, you'll be up against Gordon DL once one of them provides me with a coin. Let's see what we've got.
It's a big 10.
And it's heads, Mark Wilson.
I'm on again.
Against all Connor, right, from Parkhead. Let me give Mark some.
I'm Connor.
Clyde 2. Make sure he doesn't know what you're saying and get your clock up and running. Connor, 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Mark. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Oh, helps if I press the right button. Ready this time. Mark Reynolds is on loan at which championship side?
United.
How many teams from Edinburgh are in the SPFL, so all the leagues?
Four.
Who scored Rangers' third goal against Hearts last night?
Four.
Who was the first non-Scottish manager of Celtic?
Liam Brady.
Who was the manager of Livingston immediately before Kenny Miller? So who brought them up?
Jay Cole.
Which team has conceded the most goals in the Championship this season, the Scottish Championship?
Aula.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Mark, can you hear us?
Yes.
They're tough, by the way.
Yep, aye. Yep. You go.
Really tough. Are you ready?
Yes.
Mark Reynolds is on loan at which Championship side?
Dundee United.
How many teams from Edinburgh are in the SPFL, all the leagues?
Three.
Who scored Rangers' third goal against Hearts last night?
Arfield.
Who was the first non-Scottish manager of Celtic?
Joe Venglos, no.
Who was the manager of Livingston immediately before Kenny Miller, so when they came up?
David Hawken.
Which teams conceded the most goals in the Scottish Championship this season?
Aula.
Okay.
It's no Haller, is it?
What do you think, Connor?
I hear them myself, so I'm not too confident.
Right, let's find out. Aberdeen's Mark Reynolds is currently on loan at which Championship side? It's Dundee United. Signed a pre-contract actually, mm-hmm. So he's going to, yep, Dundee United. 1-0 Mark Wilson. Let's count them up. How many teams from Edinburgh in the SPFL? Hearts,
Edinburgh, Hibs, City.
Edinburgh City. And that's it. It's three, I'm afraid, Connor. Nah, I'm not getting Livingston. No chance. Who scored Rangers' third goal? It was Scott Arfield. I can't believe Mark Wilson's running away with this.
Has Connor not got one on the board?
Nah, it's 3-0 to
Mark. Hang up, Connor. Hang up.
No, don't have a nightmare, Connor. You stay where you are, Connor. Don't listen to them, because he knew this and you didn't. Some Celtic man you are. Let's get David back on. Who is the first non-Scottish manager of Celtic? Tell him, Connor.
Liam Brady.
That's who had.
It was Liam Brady. What was that, Connor?
Before I was even born as well.
There we go. Hang your head. I'm giving Connor two for that. So it's 3-2 at the moment. Who was the manager of Livingston before Kenny Miller? It was David Hopkin. So Mark Wilson goes 4-2 in front. And which teams conceded the most goals in the Championship? You both went for Alloa, but it's Partick Thistle. Unlucky, Connor. The double point I gave you, still not enough. 4-2 to Mark Wilson.
Unlucky, Connor.
Good man. Back to the graft in front of the computer tomorrow, Connor. No sign ball to take with you.
Try and research football on that computer, Connor.
Oh, I'm not having that.
He's stunning.
I'm joking, Connor.
Connor, he's doing a Bruno. You better go off quickly.
Thank you to Connor in Parkhead. 01419511025 if you want to join in with us tonight. We've tried a couple of times to talk football, but there are just so many other stories that really require our attention, because we spoke about Celtic last night, the fact that they won again. We spoke about the penalty miss, about Ryan Christie and various other footballing aspects. There was another aspect to the game, and that was this flashbang thrown onto the pitch at Celtic's second goal. The St Mirren goalkeeper requiring a bit of attention after the noise. It seemed to give him a bit of a fright. It was pretty close to him. It was thrown from the Celtic end, of course, and Neil Lennon wasn't too happy about it at full time. Let's hear from Neil Lennon. Let us know what you think.
The health and safety of the players is paramount, and you know, the officials, it didn't just spook, you know, the St Mirren goalkeeper, but some of our players as well. And all it does is just delay the game. You know, we've just scored a goal, so we're celebrating, hoping to get the game going again. It serves no purpose whatsoever. And I think the club have made a real standpoint at times condemning it, and I just don't understand why people want to do that sort of thing. There's no logic in it whatsoever from my point. Why does an individual want to bring something like that to the game? It doesn't impress anybody. It doesn't bring anything to the game. It doesn't add to anything. All it does is just damage people. And it could have damaged the player tonight. And again, the reputation of the good fans that we have. We just don't want it.
By
of course he was, yeah.
And I mean, you could damage one of your own players.
Of course. You know, or, you know, the goalkeeper might have burst an eardrum. Or, you know, just totally uncalled for.
Celtic have also issued a statement, Peter Lowell, saying last night's incident was completely unacceptable, not something we ever want to see repeated. The safety of everyone, players, fans, staff, officials, should always be our priority, and collectively we need to do all we can to ensure it remains the case. There have been a number of incidents across many clubs this season, with a range of items including pyrotechnics being thrown onto pitches. We need to do all we can to remove this from our game. From a Celtic perspective, the club does not want it, our players do not want it, our manager does not want it, and our supporters do not want it. Frank is a Celtic fan. Do you agree with that, Frank, or disagree?
I wholeheartedly agree with the statement for Celtic and Peter Lowell. There's no place for these idiots in football grounds. Get them out now. That's my first point.
All right, what did you two make of it then?
Listen, disgraceful, because, you know, you're putting players in danger yet again. And we've spoke about it so many times, about coins coming on, how players, should it be right for them to fear for their own safety while they're in their workplace? And, you know, mindless idiots who, you know, like Neil Lennon says there, who are they trying to impress? Now, the Celtic fans are good enough fans and got a loud enough voice to create atmosphere from that alone. They don't need this flares and fireworks or whatever they're trying to be. You know, you see it on the continent, or you did years ago, and it's just creeping into your game more gradually. And when you're starting throwing it on the pitch and endangering, you know, people round about you, not even just the players, because if you're throwing that through the stand, you get that wrong, you're throwing it into the supporters also. So, you know, I would like to be, you know, stamped out of game, but how do you control it? Is it a stop and search policy at the turnstiles?
I mean, those, but clearly it's
not working, is it? So very, very poor. And it's just another in a long line of incidents that crept into our game.
Mark mentions on the continent, Gordon, this stuff is commonplace. And in fact, and many people actually like it. And many people in this country like it as well. They think it brings, you know, colour and adds to the atmosphere. But surely, if you're of that mindset, which is fine, because we can always, there's room for all sorts of opinions, surely the line is crossed when it gets thrown next to the players. I mean, that has to at least...
Yeah, Mark's right, and everybody that will agree, there's no room for it, Gordon. Whether it's Celtic or any other club, there's a lot of fantastic supporters out there that want to turn up, support their team, and enjoy the game and enjoy winning. You're looking at I was reading this morning that the St Mirren manager was actually thinking of taking his team off the pitch. It's getting that bad.
Well, I think he was talking about if the goalkeeper had to go off because he had no more substitutes. But
yeah, which for support, they're not the true support. If you're a true support, you know that's wrong, right? You're standing there. Well,
I'm not sure about that, because we always hear this, and this applies to every ground, every misdemeanor. We always see, they're obviously not a real Celtic fan, or they're not a real Rangers fan. Well, they are. Why not just call it out for what it is? They pay their money, they go along like everyone else. They are fans of that club, so.
So they can throw objects onto the pitch?
No, not at all. I'm talking about
disgrace their club.
I'm talking about
Peter Lawwell's out already.
I'm talking about this idea that we almost use it as like an excuse to say, if you do something like that, you're clearly not a real fan. They are fans, so let's just deal with it, because that's what fans, they're going along paying their money and doing something that the club don't agree with, but that doesn't mean they're not fans.
Okay, they're fans letting their club down badly, Gordon. When the manager of Celtic has to come out and say what he said, when Peter Lawwell has to come out and say what he said, and it's not just Celtic, it's happening at every clubs. All clubs have got this problem. But how you stamp it out, I don't know. Yes, okay, you can say they're fans, but you cannot come along to a football game and behave in that manner. Somebody is really going to get seriously injured here.
Frank.
My second point is about the absolute meltdown for the last few days. I don't know what I've enjoyed more, Rangers pain or Sam pain. It's been absolutely an equal measure of enjoyed it. I've not laughed so much these last few days listening to these people. Scott Brown, he's guilty of hee-haw as far as I'm concerned. Like, he was actually physically assaulted three times. Physically assaulted. It's lucky the police didn't take action against him. Anyway,
but then is that not going too far the other way, Frank? Because we keep hearing this, and it's the language that people on both sides use. You know, I've seen people say that Scott Brown booted Morelos, which he didn't. So we're using language to try and inflame that. And now you're talking about, you know, police getting involved for what Morelos or Kent did. Are we not guilty on all sides here of dramatising this a little bit?
That's what I'm talking. That's my point. They're overreacting. The whole thing's overreacting. The whole thing is down because of Celtic winning. That's the whole point here.
But you've just overreacted as well by saying that these Rangers players are lucky the police didn't get involved.
I was being sarcastic.
Okay.
I think that's the actual meltdown for these people. The whole point is Celtic were abysmal in the second half on Sunday. Somebody took their batteries out. We were playing with half fat players, Tierney and Sam. Boyata went half injured. We never kicked a ball in the second half. The only ball we did kick went in the back of their net, and that's what it's all about.
Frank, sorry, I wouldn't use that as an excuse about second half year playing with injured players. I would give credit to Rangers first and foremost. I thought Rangers played very well, and you know, they were braving the ball, which they didn't appear to be in the first half. Celtic, you're talking about injury. Celtic have got the biggest squad in Scotland with the quality and everything they've got. So I'm not having the fact that saying, well, we were playing with injuries and that's the reason that Rangers come back into the game. I think you've got to give credit to Rangers in the way they played second half.
All right, thanks to Frank and Springburn. The Scottish FA's disciplinary department has been in overdrive today. Lots of people are tweeting in and asking about last night, whether there will be further repercussions for a couple of incidents. Scott Brown, which we touched on, so we'll look at that a bit closer. But also Duckins Nazon, the St Mirren striker, seemed to catch Christopher Ayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will he be getting a letter through the door?
It looked like he did catch him. Ayer on the jaw. Again, it's a tough one to call because he's back to him. and I'm not using that as an excuse, and Ayer is bigger, so when he raises his hand, I think he initially tries to kind of grab him, and he moves his elbow up and catches him. So I'm not too sure, because I don't know how the SFA view these things now. I mean, there'll be a lot of people say it was a blatant red. It wasn't a blatant red for me. I must admit,
well,
I wasn't.
Let's remind ourselves
red.
Of the rules. We always talk about this excessive force. There's not the same need for it to be excessive if it's to the face. That's what we've, you know, come to learn. So he certainly catches Christopher Ayer Gordon. Whether it is intentional or not doesn't really come into it. It's not really what it's about. Mm-hmm. So given that, would you expect retrospective punishment for him?
I thought it was a blatant red card.
You did?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I don't know.
You think he's meant to elbow him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Think he knows what he's doing?
Yes.
But he doesn't have to know what he's doing, really. That's
exactly. And the way his movement, his arm, I think that is a red card all day long, as I think that Scott Brown was a red card.
You don't agree with that? You don't agree with the Scott Brown
listen,
one?
No, the Scott Brown. Listen,
I mean, obviously, he studs land on Kellerman.
It lands on him,
that's
you know, he's gone down, he studs land on him, and we'll have people like David who come on and, you know, whatever says I was a joke for that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, listen, there was one in the 29th of December that I think was worse, with Morelos stamping on Anthony Ralston. I wonder how David would feel about that one. He's blatantly saying Scott Brown's one was a red card, and it should have been a red card. I says it wasn't he. The one on Morelos was more blatant and more forceful, I thought, and Morelos didn't get in. So I suppose it's the way you look at these things. I thought Scott Brown, when he was going down, he didn't have any other place to put his foot. Daz obviously thinks otherwise.
I think Scott Brown knows what he's doing, I really. And he was fly about it.
And did it have the force that would be required for a red card?
Yeah, I thought it was a red card. It's all about opinions. Mark, obviously, disagrees with that. Nazon, I think, is a 100% red card. I don't know how he stays on the pitch.
Well, here's the next thing, because let's not forget, whether the Scott Brown one, remember, the process only starts if the referee didn't see it. So if the referee saw it in its entirety, mm-hmm. and is happy with it, Scott, this will never go any further. So that's the other thing that has to be taken into account. Yeah. So that may well be the case. The referee was in a good position, but as we've found out from previous incidents this year, that doesn't necessarily mean he saw it and he saw it all.
Have we ever had a season like this where we chat about so much about referees?
No,
I wonder
I don't
if they
think
see
so.
Things and, you know, well, that's a big thing, Gordon.
It snowballs, that's
things.
Why. Yeah. It snowballs, because for every incident that goes before, it gets added on, like you just did. You're talking about, what about the one before, and what about the one before, and what about the one before, and it snowballs and it ends up getting a bit mad. So let's try and talk football if we can. John's a St Mirren fan in Clydebank. What did you make of it last night, John? There was a spell in the second half where you maybe could have got back into the game.
Well, I've got to start by being honest, and I wasn't at the game. I'm a season ticket holder, but I gave my ticket away last night. That wasn't because I didn't want to go to the game, but I had family here, and I just couldn't make it. But I do go week in, week out, and I tend to think that it's a side issue. I think we tend to get thin end of the wedge on a regular basis. We've had a couple of goals against us this season where I didn't think the ball was over the line. Last night I've seen the replay, and it looks as if it might have been, but how the referee can give that without stating he's positive it was over, I don't know. And it happened against Kilmarnock early in the season, but they're not really the issues that I come on to talk about. My main point really was about St Mirren giving away two of the stands to both sides of the Old Firm throughout the season. And when this came up at the start of this season, a lot of debate went on in St Mirren fan sites, and I was all for letting them have it, get the money in, because we're not a wealthy club and we needed the cash. So I thought, why not? But then you start looking at what's actually happening. Last night's crowd was actually smaller than Saturday's crowd against Dundee. So when you look at the figures, supposedly Celtic had 3,300 fans last night. That would mean St Mirren had 3,200 fans. But there were over 5,000 St Mirren fans the Dundee game on Saturday. So you have to ask yourself why. The South Stand is supposedly the family stand, and we give those people alternative seats and tell them you're going to have to move. From the seat you sit in week in, week out, you're going to have to move so we can let Old Firm fans in. And personally, I've changed my mind. I think it's wrong, and it's time we stopped giving these away. We're not gaining the cash out of the club, seems to think we're getting.
In fairness, John, I wouldn't pretend to know for sure. I'm just exploring all possibilities. A midweek game at night on TV, is that not perhaps worth bearing in mind as to why less St Mirren fans came?
Well, it wouldn't be why less St Mirren fans come, because you know you've got your season tickets, and it might be why less Celtic fans come. Earlier in the season with Rangers there, they had a crowd of just over 6,000, 700 short of what was there against Dundee on Saturday, and that was on a Saturday. So I don't think the Old Firm are that interested in travelling anymore. The fans can see it on TV, as you've said. They're more interested in going to the home games where they've got big crowds. And
I thought both ends looked I thought both ends behind the goals, John, looked pretty full from in the Celtic support, did they not?
Then if that's the case, then the St Mirren support's well down, and you have to ask yourself why.
And that's what I said about the midweek.
It's simple, John. It's all about the games. You look at the weekend, for instance. That is a massive game against Dundee, and that's why people will turn out. It's the weekend, it's the Saturday. I don't know where you're coming from, because you're a club that needs money, and there's travelling supporters prepared to pay that money. Now, if you look at it and flip the coin, if you were playing Kilmarnock last night, you would have, what, 2,500, 3,000? So you look at Celtic on a Wednesday night, live on TV, coming there, and you're right, Gordon, I watched the game, and the stands did look full. I don't blame St Mirren for doing that. They have to get revenue in to help pay the bills and try and help the manager get better players in, so that John, who's a season ticket holder, and other people will come and be entertained and watch their club.
I can only imagine that the people at the club, you know, the hierarchy at the club, look at this and look at the history of these midweek fixtures and think, what's the best way we can make money? And I can only imagine that they have looked at games, say, against a Kelly or whoever else, a Dundee midweek, and they've seen their recent crowds over the years and thought, well, we're obviously not going to sell it, so let's make the most money we can. That's what I'm thinking. That's my only thing. But you can understand John's frustration a bit, because as a home fan and going to your home game, you want to see the majority of the stadium home support. But unfortunately, the clubs like St Mirren need as much cash as they can get.
Well, there we go. Craig's a Celtic fan on Twitter, and he says, I wouldn't mind seeing St Mirren staying up, because the games there this season, the atmosphere has been superb. So mutual appreciation. Well, it's not mutual, is it? It's only coming from Craig, not from John. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. Got a good full time teaser for you.
Yeah, hard.
Get your pen and paper ready. It's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Keep the calls coming. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Good teaser tonight. Sent in all the way from Canada, Ontario, Canada. Mr. Lindsay McLachlan, McLaughlin, however, forgive me if I've pronounced it wrong. McLachlan, I think it will be. All the way from Canada. He sent this one in. Name the 12 players since the 80s who've played for Rangers.
Yeah.
With a Z in their names. Now, Eros Grezda doesn't count because he's there at the moment. And loan signings don't count either. So we're looking for the 12 others since the 80s who've played for Rangers with a Z in their name.
Robert Pritz.
Not the one I thought you would get first, but that's one, yep.
George Alberts.
Brilliant. Yes.
Is Keish Nasvili got a Z in his name?
Yes.
Is he?
Yeah.
Bro, you're good at this.
Aye, thanks.
Zeda, Zeda, Zeda. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And their second name? Or any name?
Any name. Keish Nasvili's got it in both. He's got it in both. Zurab, Keish Nasvili's got it in both. George Alberts, Robert Prids. Looking for another nine.
Come on.
So I think 80s. No, he's not said in it. I'm saying him.
What?
It's a different game.
Zed. Oh, what's who did the Russian Russian lad? Hey, oh, I can't remember his name.
Oleg Selenko.
No,
my first name's right.
Ole starts with a K, doesn't it?
Kiznoskou.
No, I'm not giving you that. No chance.
I can't pronounce it. I don't know. Oleg Kuznetsov.
No chance you're getting that. I'll give you a couple of minutes. Yes, Kuznetsov. Well done.
Kuznetsov.
Got there in the end. All right, you've got four, so we've got another eight to go. Let's speak to John in Falkirk. Hi, John.
Hiya, Gordon. How are you doing?
Good, thank you, John. What's on your mind tonight?
Gordon. How's Gordon? Well, mate. Is he all right?
Oh, he's fine.
I'm doing well, John. Yeah, you?
I'm fine, pal. Listen, I'm going to forgive you for that fluky heater for Equalizer and
The Coca-Cola Cup final we won?
Yes. That was a fluke, wasn't it?
He doesn't, John, do you know the good thing about him is he doesn't talk about it very much. He's very humble.
John, you know, and I know that was a terrific header.
Well, I seen the...
It was off the nose, John. It was off the nose.
The busting it if it was off the nose.
And your eyes, it was fantastic. Listen, brilliant. But listen, my point is, right, David Cooper, God bless him, right? Mm-hmm. I was at Parkhead, right, Motherwell, and Motherwell beat Celtic 2-1. And we're talking about players scoring and celebrating. David Cooper didn't score that day. But he created the second goal, and all he did was run past the jungle and a wee wink, and that was it. And it was fantastic, right? And Gordon, I don't know if you remember that. Mark will probably know because he's a bit younger, eh? But it was absolutely fantastic.
I like that. That's a good wee story, Gordon. That's is that John saying an understated way of celebrating in front of the opposition fans?
Yeah. I've got to say it was David Cooper. I was very fortunate to play. Coop liked to celebrate as well, and to be fair, he scored the right few goals. What a terrific football player he was. But they're great memories, John. That was just Dave. David was one of these guys that on the day he was just so cool at times that he didn't really bother because he knew how good he was, how skillful he was.
Gordon, but The fans in the jungle that day appreciate it. It was absolutely fantastic. He crossed the ball and Motherwell bang 2-1, and he just ran down the side of the jungle where he was getting abuse for virtually the full game, and just a wee wink, and that was it.
And that's what we mentioned earlier on. Listen, there's no point in lacking self-awareness around this. All the Rangers fans want Scott Brown banned. All the Celtic fans don't think he should be banned. If we somehow could take a step back, I think we would realise that there is a widespread issue with people being offended by everything now compared to what we had before.
It's not just football though, Gordon, is
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
It's wider society. We see in social media things, or any celebrity comes out and says something remotely wrong, everybody jumps on the case. This should be done, that should be done to them. And it's now found its way into our football stadiums that fans are you know, they get outraged by a player celebrating in front of them, you know. And I'm taking Scott Brown out of this, just across the league here. You know, players do get a lot of stick when they score that goal or get that important win. The pressure lifts. I don't think there's anything wrong with them celebrating.
Thanks to John in Falkirk. I like that story, John. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson. He says the fact Motherwell were even contenders for the top six shows how much they've improved this calendar year. Their hopes of finishing in the top half ended last night with a 3-1 loss to Aberdeen. Robinson says there are positives to take from the game.
Yeah, I mean, the character they showed and the quality of football we played at times was excellent in the first half. We dominated large parts of the game against a team like Aberdeen, who very, very good side. I've utmost respect for the management team. They've done brilliant here. So to come here to Pittodrie and dominate large parts of the game, something we've never done previously, I think it shows a change in style, how we're trying to go and where we're trying to take the football club. So there's a lot of positivity, yeah, of course. But we have to make sure that doesn't fizzle out, and we have to make sure our mindsets are right, and everybody's 100% committed to Motherwell finishing as high up the table as possible, not protecting themselves for their own game. The reality for this football club, we have to stay in this division. So, you know, us even coming into the last two games with a chance of getting in the top six shows how good our form's been since the turn of the year. Of course, we're naturally disappointed. But we'll go again. We have to make sure we finish the season brightly, then all the good work we've done since Christmas doesn't go to waste.
So that's it. The top six is actually complete, meaning the SPFL are going to publish the post-split fixtures, we think, tomorrow. So Hibs and Hearts are in there. They got the last two places, if you like. That was confirmed last night, Motherwell losing out. What do we make of that then, Gordon? Too little too late for Motherwell?
Yeah, they were on such a terrific run, Gordon, but I think they'll be happy with their season because it wasn't the greatest start. But I think the, for us Motherwell supporters, the enjoyment of the young kids coming in, the Hasties, Turnbulls, Campbells, well, he'd played a few games, but they've just been, they've been brilliant, the lads. They're really a joy to watch, and there's nothing better than getting your scarf and hat on, getting out that door, walking up to Fir Park, knowing that you're going to be entertained and cheering on your team.
And then, of course, the post-split fixtures announced tomorrow, so we'll have that usual bout of fun and games. When are they going to schedule Rangers against Celtic? Yeah. Will it be the, you know, the third game? Because you would imagine Celtic will have the title wrapped up certainly by then.
You would think so. They need to make it the most sensible date. You know,
they always try and avoid the title decider. It doesn't always work.
I know. Of course, it's a difficult thing to get right. But I do enjoy the post fixture splits. I think for Motherwell, I think they have to take huge credit for the way they've turned their season around. Before Christmas time, it looked like it was going nowhere. I mean, we even were speaking in here that they may be dragged in at one point to a relegation fight with Hamilton, Dundee and St Mirren. All of a sudden, they turn things around, start giving young players a chance to go out and express themselves and play with a freedom. And it's certainly paid off for Stephen Robinson. But I think you're spot on, Gordon. Just too little, too late. You know, they give themselves a wee bit too much to do. But Motherwell fans must be delighted at the prospect of what could be next season. If they manage to keep these players, and I know there's rumours around them, but if they do their best to keep as much of these young players as possible, then they've got a decent chance of making the top six next season and replicating what they've done in the Cups last season.
But I think we might be having one of those nights, because I've just actually thought of another one on the teaser that's not in this list.
Hmm.
Go on then.
So I think we're up to 13. Remember, loan players.
13?
Loan players don't count. So there's a couple that are ruled out.
Gordon's got a couple. Yeah.
The lad for Arsenal doesn't count.
No, Zalalem doesn't count. Loan players don't count. But I think there's one that Lindsay's missed. So I think we're up to 13. That could grow, but it's all good fun. Who cares? It's just a bit of fun.
Shota Arveladze.
Yes.
Darius Adamczyk.
That's a good one.
Yes.
That's a good one. So what are six?
I'm not convinced you knew Adamczyk had a Z in it.
Yeah, I did.
How'd you spell
Where is it? Where is it then?
Come on then. How'd you spell it? Someone's told you this. How'd you spell Adamczyk?
All right, I was spelling Darius here. D-A-R-I-U-S.
So it's not got a Z in it.
Z. Aye, instead of S. You said S.
It's got, yeah, it doesn't have a Z in it, I don't think.
Darius.
It's Darius with an S.
No, I'm talking about Adamczyk.
Yeah, so how do you spell it?
With a Z.
Go on then.
This isn't a spelling quiz.
Z-A-D.
I'll let you off. He's one anyway.
Is he one?
Yeah.
Right. Wait, spell, it. His
spell,
name
it. Spell it.
Do you know what? Because the problem is Lindsay, who sent the question in, spelt it wrong anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Right. We'll leave that there. Let's speak to Sheila, who's in Cardonald. Hi, Sheila.
Oh, hi there. It's the end of Adamczyk is C-Z-Y-K.
There we go. Sheila, well bringing a bit of knowledge Sheila. To the show. Thank you.
Okay. Rewind 12 years ago, I kind of remember at Easter Road, some Rangers fans saying, I'll spare you my voice, Scott Brown, we're going to take Scott Brown. Well, for 12 years, they've been hurting because he's kind of led us to title after title, and I think they would love him to be on their side. But let's face it, each set of fans see it their own way. And I'm a passionate Celtic fan. And as you may have figured out. However, can I just say something? Everybody's got personal responsibility. Do you know what? Nobody can make me go nuts. I make a choice. Mm. I take alcohol. I would be looking for trouble. But actually, nobody can goad you to behave badly. So this incitement to violence and goading, I find it all a load of nonsense, and actually the people sort of just want to blame somebody for their own bad behaviour. That said, I would like to now go on to Stephen Gerrard. I've been disappointed in his behaviour throughout the season, and my reason for that is, first game at Aberdeen, he said there was a conspiracy against him. He has consistently said he's better than Aberdeen and Celtic, despite evidence to the contrary. he made that ridiculous statement about Ryan Kent. And in actual fact, he was reported as saying he would have done the same thing. So if we're talking about incitement and we're talking about setting an example, I don't really think that's a very good example to be setting. I just think he said some pretty crazy things, and I know he's a new, manager, but I think he should have a wee bit of reflection about the statements he comes out with.
All right, Gordon, what do you think?
Well, Sheila makes her points as a Celtic supporter. She's saying that Steven Gerrard, he has come out. Every manager throughout the season, you could go back to their statements and their pressers, and they'll come out with things that you don't agree with. I don't think he ever come out and said that they're better than Celtic. I think he's come out on record today and said that they're closer to Celtic than people think. He's quite entitled to that opinion. Yes, he did say that at Aberdeen about conspiracies. I'd say tonight in the show I don't agree with his statement against Ryan Kent, but he's a Rangers manager. He's there to protect his club, he's there to stand up for his club, and he's there to give an opinion about the club. Other people may think it's right, and other people like Sheila may think it's wrong.
Well, you weren't happy with the Ryan Kent one earlier on, Mark, so you're in agreement with Sheila.
Yeah, I think Steven Gerrard, being new to this environment, he said some things this season that maybe on reflection next season he may not, you know, be as vocal on things. I did hear Steven Gerrard does say the second half we showed we were better than Celtic.
He's talking about one half of football.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, no, it's just because, well, Sheila said that and Daz said he didn't say that. He did say that, and he says, you know,
they're better than Celtic.
That's what he says. We showed we were better than Celtic.
Within that moment.
Yeah, I'm just saying what he said. So he says one or two things about Aberdeen. The Ryan Kent one, again, I can't back him with. I was baffled at that when it's there for everyone to see. And he came out and he obviously has to back his player, but I don't think he can expect people to be, you know, idiots and no see what's going on there and the pictures in front of him. He's saying pictures can show a different thing. They have a different set of events and circumstances because he spoke to players round about the incident. Well, we all watched it, and millions of people watched it at the same time. The SFA watched it and have upheld the ban. So I found that a bit ridiculous, but I just wonder if he'll stay the same next season in his interviews, or he may just be a wee bit more guarded.
Lindsay has sent in the question looking for 13 players since the 80s who've played for Rangers with a Z in their name. Loan signings don't count. Eros Grezda doesn't count because he's there at the moment. You've got Avaladze, Pritz, Alberts, Kuznetsov, Adamchuk, Kishnashvili.
Can it be a Z in their first name? Yeah, that's what he said.
Yes, anywhere in their name.
Lorenzo Amoruso. Oh, I got a cracker.
Go for it.
Came through St Johnston, McCoy signed him. Sandaza. Is it Sandaza?
That says up to 14.
Sandaza, I could shout actually.
What
Lindsay,
do you mean 14?
What are you doing to me, Lindsay? That's not on Lindsay's list. This is just one of them. We're looking for 47 players. We'll give you some thinking time, and we'll try and figure out how many answers we need.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. The question on the teaser tonight is now: name as many players as possible who've played for Rangers since the 80s and have a Z in their names. Lindsay sent the question all the way from Canada, and maybe some got lost in the post. I don't know, right? But there are a couple. I think we're up to 14, and I'm going to give you some freebies on top of that that you would never get. There's no point. Darren Fitzgerald and Gary McKenzie. Exactly, right? So exactly. So we'll move on. I think we're still looking for 14 then. Players since the 80s who've played for Rangers with a Z in their name. Loan signings don't count. Eros Grezda's not in it. So Avaladze, Pritz, Alberts, Amoruso, Kuznetsov, Adamchuk, Kishnashvili,
Sebastian Rosenthal.
Yes.
Great shout.
I've got another classic. Sandaza.
Mm-hmm. I think we said him before the break.
St. John, no, did we?
You had the other one.
Who was it?
Came from Hearts. Did you see him already?
Go then, I'll give you that.
Zalukis.
Okay, Let's speak to, no, I'll tell you what, we'll get to Ian in just a second, but let's hear from Brian Rice, because I want to look a bit more at the picture at the bottom whilst we can. Says his Hamilton players need to stop playing with fear if they're to secure their survival. They missed the chance to move away from the relegation zone last night, losing 2-0 at Livingston. The manager feels they need to be better.
This town deserves a Premier League club. These fans deserve Premier League football, you know, and it's your job to make sure they've got that. And that's the message I'm drumming into them. You know, you won't be getting that by playing the ball back away and no playing with confidence. Go and play. Go and play. Get the ball forward. Get crosses in. Get shots. Go and play with that freedom. You know, it's a mixture of everything. You know, you can't come in every day and it's laughing and joking or it's serious. You know, you've got to mix everything up. It's like being in any workplace. You know, I keep saying the harder you work, the better you enjoy it. And the better you enjoy it, the harder you work. It's a circle.
The bottom three looks like this: Dundee on 18 points, St Mirren just above them on 20, Hamilton above them on 24. So 6 points separating the bottom three. The bottom six has now been sealed. We know who's going to be in it. It'll be St Johnstone, Motherwell, Livingston, Hamilton, St Mirren, Dundee. They'll all play each other. How do you view that with a few games to go?
I think it's got to be really exciting, and I think this weekend is going to be very important, because St Mirren manager Owen Kearney decided to rest key players with one eye on the weekend. They go to Hamilton. Massive game. Hamilton in a bit of a slump just now. Lost 5 to Kilmarnock. Lost to Livingston. They've been dragged right back into it. So Dundee, who I've looked at Dundee, even looking at the results, they just look a poor side. They'll certainly be down, or they'll be in the playoff, and it'll be between St Mirren and Hamilton. Obviously,
I think it's just something about me that thinks Dundee might scrape a few results somehow.
They need to win.
I think
they can't win.
I know. I think it'll be St Mirren. I think I see sometimes St Mirren, you know, getting an odd result, and I sympathise with our fans, because they must think, okay, we've turned the corner, we're going to build in it, and they always seem to go in this dreadful run after they get a decent result. So I think St Mirren will be the one still to go down automatically.
I think if Hamilton can get a home result at the weekend against St Mirren, I think that would give them all the breathing space that they needed. And I think then it would be between Dundee and St Mirren to automatically go down and neither win the playoffs. But I just think that Hamilton are not in the greatest form just now, losing goals, not scoring goals. It's going to be
Brian
a tricky
Rice,
game.
Certainly not happy. I mean, we heard him at the weekend as well, and he was calling his team for everything, you know, and saying they were an absolute joke and didn't look like they were fighting for their lives. Pretty similar-ish press conference there after last night. So he certainly knows that they're not playing well. You can lose games, and managers sometimes come out and say, we're doing the right things, we just need a bit of luck. Brian Rice, no, you know, not sending that message across just now. So that must be worrying for Hamilton fans.
Ian's in Annie's Land. Hi, Ian. Hi, Ian. No. Have we got Ian? One last chance. Ian in Annie's Land, are you with us? I think he's dinged
gone.
Us.
He's gone.
He's still there. Still on my nice computer screen, but can't hear him. So there we go. Any more on the teaser? I mean, let's be honest, the teaser's an absolute shambles. I don't mind admitting that. It's an absolute shambles. I just want to see how many you can name now, really.
I've got a cracker. Goalkeeper Bonnie Ginsberg. Is it
great shout? Great shout.
Who?
Bonnie Ginsberg, yeah.
What era was that?
The year of the Zeds.
Great shout.
What's his name?
Bonnie Ginsberg.
Goalkeeper.
Bonnie.
Aye.
Yeah, don't remember that?
No, certainly not. Bonnie.
I certainly remember it, because we've had all the goalkeepers who played during 9 in a row or something. We had that as a teaser, didn't we? So any more?
I'm stuck here.
So am I. I'm sure.
Any clues going about?
I mean, there are so many that we've probably missed. So let's be honest, it's just about naming. Ortiz, you said to him earlier, didn't you, Gordon?
Yes. Wee right winger Alan McCoy's brought him in, but I think he was in loan, was he?
No, I don't think he was, actually.
Oh,
so I'll give you that.
Yeah,
we're just trying to. We've changed. I've ripped the question up. We're just naming as many as we can.
We got 12. That's it. We're
I'm
just
looking for 47.
Just name any Rangers player, you'll get there.
Nah, struggling. But we got 12. Well done.
All the ones that we can think of, and Twitter's been helping out on this, there are three to get.
Give us a clue.
Another goal. No, he wasn't. I'm talking rubbish. There's a centre back there.
Centre back?
I think he was a centre back, yeah.
Zulog.
What era?
Probably just. Yeah, maybe round about your time. Yeah, in your career, I would say.
Come on.
Still got a couple of minutes. What else from last night have we not discussed? There's loads we haven't discussed because it's been absolutely mobbed talking about all the disciplinary stuff. When you look at last night's results, so maybe a missed chance for Kilmarnock. There was a slight suggestion maybe they could catch Rangers. Is that out the window?
I think
now?
That's out the window now. Got to say though, I mean, Hibs as well been going well. So I mean, a decent result for Kelly, but I think their chances of catching Rangers now are away, especially Rangers putting on such an impressive performance last night. I think that will do them the world of good going into the split. But a tough place to go. I mean, Paul Heckenbottom's done very, very well there at Hibs. I think have they only lost once?
Well, he's the manager of the month, isn't he?
He nearly wrecked to death there. You give me a fright.
He's the manager of the month, and today been named it, I guess rightly so. He's done a very good job. So much talk about, oh, Hibs have taken a risk getting rid of Neil Lennon, how are they going to replace him? Paul Heckenbottom's done well, Gordon.
Yeah, unbeaten, am I right in saying that, Gordon? Manager of the month, so it's only downwards now for him. I don't know if you ever got that, Mark. I don't know. you've got to say he's doing a terrific job there, and already planning, you know, for next season. And I think there's exciting times ahead for Hibs. So I'm sure all the Hibs fans, they've forgotten about Neil Lennon now and looking forward to a new future.
Right, let's go through these one by one. The three that we think you've still got to get on the teaser. So one actually is a goalkeeper, and one's a centre half, I think. He came from Monaco. Do you remember that? 2004-ish. So that would be maybe a bit before your time, Mark.
No, I was playing for Dundee United at that time.
I meant Celtic, but
came from Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
so we'll do that one. I'll give you his initials, will I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
J.R.
Ewing.
Don't start, Mark. Don't start.
Don't start a Dallas chat again. J.R.
J.R.
Rodriguez. No.
Yes.
Oh, is it Julian Rodriguez?
Julian Rodriguez. Is it? Right, what about the goalkeeper?
Don't know him.
His initials are L.L.
Laurie.
Lionel.
It's no Richie.
Mark Wilson's going to see him in the summer.
Come on, Lionel Law.
Played for PSG. Actually got a few French caps, I think. I'll put you out of your misery.
Letizia.
You've got one to get, and I actually think you two have maybe, just maybe, outdone yourselves tonight. And I don't say this lightly, because you two have produced some really, really stupid moments on these quizzes.
The coin dropped.
The penny's dropped.
I've 2 seconds ago.
But it took you until 2 seconds ago. You must be joking me.
He's got a nose for goal.
It's you. How did we not get that?
Gordon DL. Are you aware you've got a Z in your own name? It took you until 2 seconds ago.
I forget you played
you've
for
got issues.
That's an unbanded
right desk. Time is up. You have got serious issues. Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.